The Agriculture Conservation and Resiliency Subcommittee will now come to order. Missy, please call the roll.
Chair Buchanan?
Here.
Vice Chair Roth is excused. Ranking Member Skidmore?
Here.
Representative Abbott?
Here.
Representative Alvarez?
Here.
Representative Antone? Representative Bartleman?
Here.
Representative Botana?
Here.
Representative Brackett?
Here.
Representative Usada Cabrera is excused. Representative Cassell?
Here.
Representative Cheney is excused. Representative Esposito?
Here.
Representative Hunchowski?
Here.
Representative Keene?
Here.
Representative Mooney?
Here.
Representative Steele is excused. Representative Trunell?
Here.
Representative Tuck is excused. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Missy. Members, in announcements, please remember to move your electronic devices to silent or turn them off for the duration of our meeting. Members, good Friday afternoon. Today we have four bills before our committee, but before we get started, we'll take care of a little bit of business. I do want to recognize the newest member of our committee, Representative Keene, and I'd like to give you the opportunity, if you'd like, to just give a few remarks and tell us a little bit about yourself. We're excited to have you on the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm delighted to be here. I'm excited to be here. It's been a whirlwind. I'm representing House District 35 from Orange and Osceola County, and I am so excited to be up here in Tallahassee. This has been a long time coming, and I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the good work that we're going to be doing here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Keene. Members, we'll move on to our bills. I see Representative Overdorf has just stepped in, so we'll get him started first with House Memorial 517, Foreign Polluters. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to explain the House Memorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee. Carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is a naturally present in our atmosphere, and the component and others are widely known as greenhouse gases. They've been found to trap heat in the Earth's atmosphere. In 2015, 195 parties signed the Paris Agreement, which provided a framework for the global reduction of greenhouse gases. And each signer had a nationally determined contribution, or an NDC, assigned that was then to be updated every 5 years. According to the 2023 Emissions Gap Report, global emissions reached a record high in 2022. At the same time, the United States has reduced its absolute emissions for more than 10 years in a row. China, on the other hand, is increasing emissions and hasn't even hit its projected high, which is projected to be in 2030. While the U.S. continues to lower emissions and face further regulation, our companies face a competitive disadvantage on the international stage, especially against China. Therefore, this memorial urges Congress to expand and examine this competitive disadvantage and subsequently hold foreign polluters accountable for their inaction. And members, that is the bill.
Members, are there questions? Questions of the sponsor? Representative Antone, you're good? Questions? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? First up in public testimony, we have John Pizarres with Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends, who wishes to appear in person. Did I get that your last name right there, sir?
Fairly close, yeah. Just waving in support, though.
Waving in support. Up next, we have Gregory Black. Waving in support. Any other public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony. Members, were in debate. Is there debate? Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to close.
Happy Friday. Wave close.
Thank you, Representative Overdorf. Missy, call the roll.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Hunchowski?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Trunell? Chair Buchanan?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show the bill is passed favorably. Congratulations, Representative Overdorf.
Thank you, members, and thank you for the keen yes.
All right, members. Up next, we will be hearing from Representative Costello. Representative Costello, you're recognized to explain HB 455, Comprehensive Waste Reduction and Recycling Plan.
Well, thank you, Chair Buchanan. Members, a happy TGIF to all of you. In 2008, the legislature set a statewide goal to recycle at least 75% of the municipal solid waste by 2020. This legislation, along with the legislation passed in 2010, established numerous programs and incentives to reach such set goals in requiring counties to implement local recycling programs. In 2020, in accordance with the prior legislation, the Department of Environmental Protection published the 2020 Recycling Goal Final Report, which outlines various recommendations. They were HB 455 instructs the Department of Environmental Protection to develop a comprehensive waste reduction and recycling plan based on the recommendation outlined in the DEP's 2020 Recycling Goal Final Report. DEP, develop a comprehensive plan by 2025 that identifies recycling goals based on sustainable materials management and waste diversion. DEP shall include a three-year plan to implement the following strategies. One, recycling, education, outreach. Two, evaluate the challenges, the benefits of the former state recycling education grant program and provide recommendations for possible reinstatement. Four, develop and promote plans for markets for recycling materials. Upon completion of the plan, provide a report to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, including the status of the plans and any recommendations for statutory change that would be required to meet the goals set forth in the plan. This bill will help Florida move towards reducing the overall amount of waste produced through diversion of materials from landfills, implementing strategies to increase reuse and recycling. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, we're in questions. Do we have questions on the bill? Questions on the bill. Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Do we have public testimony? Up first, we have Kenya Corey with National Waste and Recycling Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kenya Corey, and I'm here on behalf of the National Waste and Recycling Association Florida Chapter. We're your friendly garbage guys and gals who provide that pickup service at your home and at your office, and also provides your recycling services as well. I was part of that group that worked on this bill back in 2010, and when it passed, it put that 75% recycling goal in. After that, I was asked to go to a lot of national conventions and meetings and talk about the bill. And the first question I got every single time is, Kenya, where's that study that says that you're going to make that 75% recycling goal? And I said, there's no study. That number was picked out of the air by the sponsor of the bill. And, you know, in this process, sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. So there was a lot of good in that bill. So we kind of got stuck with that number. I believe that DEP can do a very good comprehensive plan for Florida to follow so that we can increase our recycling rates and have some waste reductions as well. During COVID, I helped coordinate the Florida Recycling Work Group, and we've issued a paper already that I think DEP will be able to incorporate. So if you pass this good bill of Representative Costello, we can get the plan to you, back to you, and then if there's any statutory requirements needed to move forward, it'll all be in one nice, neat package. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in public testimony, we have Jeff Scalia with Florida Association of Counties, waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Debate? Seeing no Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say, Representative, I am honored to co-sponsor this bill. I think it's a great bill. I think we have to make sure we get the data we need to make informed decisions, because Florida is growing at astronomical rates, and we're going to not have places to store the garbage, or we're going to have to build more incinerators, which is a safety issue for our communities. So I am excited about this bill, and it's an important piece of legislation. So thank you.
Members, any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Casella, you're recognized to close.
Well, in this, being a Friday afternoon, Chair, I will waive close.
Thank you for that. Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Alvarez?
Yay.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Casell?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Hunchofsky?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Trunell? Yes. Chair Buchanan?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Up next, we'll have a conversation about HB 815, sale of liquefied petroleum gas. Representative Smith, you're recognized to explain HB 815.
Thank you, Chair, and committee members for hearing the bill. So liquefied petroleum gas, propane, that's what we're going to talk about. This bill is a public safety bill. It deals with a number of issues over the last couple of years worked out between the propane industry here in Florida and the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, DACS. This updates Chapter 527 in the Florida statutes that deals with domestic, commercial, and industrial use of propane. You must be a licensed dealer here in the state of Florida to be able to sell, dispense, store, all those safety issues that you might come in. You may have a tank on the side of your house that gets refilled by your local propane dealer. You may have a tank also, or a bigger tank to run your home generator. But also, there is more industrialized use. And as mentioned in the last bill, with the growth in Florida, we're seeing a significant increase in the use of propane. And that's why the statute needed to be updated. First originally drafted in 1951, and only updates done about 10 years ago. So this brings in a whole host of safety-related changes that were needed, also from lessons learned out of Hurricane Ian, and I'll get to those of exactly what the bill does. But it really, you must be a licensed propane dealer. You must also have a master qualifier. That's, what is a qualifier? It's an industry term, which means a safety inspector. So if you are dealing with a storage facility, you must be a master qualifier, which requires at least 1 year of experience in the industry. You sit for a state exam that's run by DACS. In that big, say you have a storage facility, now the bill would allow you to have two bulk storage facilities outside, and then you would have a qualifier at each one of those. Think about that in a 75-mile radius region, so you don't have to, that truck doesn't have to go back to the main depot to refill its tank. You would have substations, and then each one of those would have their own safety inspector. So that's two facilities within a 75-mile radius. A qualifier must also have 1 year of experience, and before they sit for their state exam, they must begin it. You can apply to take it. DACS grants you the ability to take that, prove you have the one-year experience, then you have 90 days to complete that application process. The bill also authorizes DACS to condemn any unsafe propane tank or facility and order the immediate removal of that obviously flammable product there. And that's one of the things that came out of Hurricane Ian, where facilities were damaged and there was no regulatory structure for DACS to be able to step in and say, this is a safety issue, we need to get that propane removed, and then to have that contracted to take out. So that's certainly a step in the right direction. This also requires a propane technician, the guy that comes to your house and fills your tank, to put their name on any applicable information on any work orders, invoices that are provided directly to customers. And lastly, what the bill does is prohibits a propane dealer from removing gas from any customer's tank that was legally purchased. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Members, do we have questions? Questions on the bill? Any questions? Seeing no questions, we do have a strike all amendment. Representative Smith, you're recognized to explain barcode 818657.
The strike all amendment makes no significant changes to the bill. Hard to believe, but we have a Scribner's error that is a strike all. It was easier. We ever looked at a document over and over again and realized you made the same mistake. The issue between license, licensee, and licensed, we had them mixed up along the way, so we had to fix those, and it was just easier to do a strike all, but it does not substantively change the bill one iota.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative. Members, questions on the strike all? Seeing no questions on the strike all, we're in public testimony. Do we have public testimony on the bill? On the amendment? No public testimony on the amendment. Members, is there debate on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Smith, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay.
Yay.
All opposed? Show the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended, members. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? Up first, we have Victoria Price with Chesapeake Utility Corporation. Waiving in support. Up next, we have Dale Calhoun with the Florida Propane Gas Association. Waiving in support. Any other public testimony? Seeing no other public testimony, members are in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Smith, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Looking at the late hour, wave close.
Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Hunshofsky?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Mooney? Yes. Skidmore?
Yes.
Trunow? Yes. Chair Buchanan?
Yes. 14-0. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably with a committee substitute. Congratulations. All right. We did pretty good so far, members. We're about 19 minutes in. Up next, we have HB 453, Cultivated Meats, by Representative Saroy. Representative Alvarez will be presenting HB 435. Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for providing the next 4 hours for this discussion, as I'm sure it will not be quick. Ladies and gentlemen, and forgive me for wearing my glasses, members of the committee, we're here to discuss HB 435, which will make it unlawful for any person to manufacture, sell, or deliver, hold, or offer for sale cultivated meat for human consumption. Any violation of this prohibition will be subject to both criminal and administrative penalties, criminal being a misdemeanor of the second degree. For the purposes of our discussion today, cultivated meat is any meat or food product produced from a cultured animal cell. Now the discussion begins. You may stand before, you know, this committee and say, how is this happening? Because it may seem while Republicans say Democrat things and Democrats say Republican things today, today really will be where the merger of the free market and the role of government in providing a safe and secure food supply meets. No one here will ever, ever question our desire to prepare, to preserve and defend a free market. That, I think, is without question. In fact, every time I reached out to each one of you, you almost said, how can you be presenting this bill? This is something that is a free market idea, isn't it? And I said, absolutely. But the role of government, as we know, is to provide a safe and secure environment for our society to thrive. In this matter, the reason that we are planning on this type of action is because it's just simply too soon and too dangerous. Let's go through the motions. Our first question is one of ethics. Is this semi-cloning light? We have no idea really where this is going. what happens when you create lab-grown meat, although you might hear it's cultivated meat, you might hear lab-grown meat, some people call it fake meat. What happens is they take cells from a cow. What they really do is they slice open a female cow, take out her embryo, take out her stem cells, and then process those to create inside essentially a vat. If you've seen a beer distributor, if you've ever been to a microbrewery, that's almost what it looks like, and I'm not making light of it. And inside that vat, cells grow for months on end, weeks on end to months on end. The other way they do it is using something called an immortalized cell. And then if you ask what an immortalized cell is, you might know it better as a cancer cell. It's a cell that continues to replicate itself on end. The only times we've ever seen those are in cancer. So we use one of those two lines, an immortalized cell or a cell from a calf embryo, to create what is called meat inside a lab. What we don't know are the effects of that. What we don't know is what using an immortalized cell in a human body will do in the next 25 years. And we, as Floridians, are not willing to allow our citizens to be used as a petri dish. Sir, that is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Alvarez. Members, we're in questions. Representative Hunchofsky with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Alvarez, I want to thank you for reaching out and having the very spirited discussion that we had on this item ahead of time. I appreciate that. So you mentioned that this is, quote unquote, fake meat. How is cultivated meat biologically different from meat?
Representative Alvarez.
Well, ma'am, I was hoping that someone could tell me, and that's the point, right? So we don't really know what real meat versus this fake meat is supposed to. Now, listen, let's not use the inflammatory term. I'll agree to use the word cultivated meat if you'd like. This cultivated meat is supposed to grow from the DNA of a cow, but is it coming from a cow? Is it growing as a cow? The only thing we know as meat is if it comes on four legs and we slaughter it, or if it's a fish and we kill it. This is grown in a lab, and we don't know the effects of it, and we don't know exactly what it's like. Two companies have been approved by the FDA. Now you may tell me that the FDA is in charge of protecting us, or that the CDC has, but we all see how that worked out.
Representative Hunchofsky with a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the monologue. However, I go back to the fake meat, because if it's biologically the same, how is one fake? And the reason I bring this up is I think when we talk about things that are scientific, I want to talk about them in factual ways and not in hyperbolic ways that are generating images in people's minds, because I think that is...
Representative Hunchofsky, is there a question?
Yes. Please explain to me the biological difference between cultivated meat and regular meat as the reason for why you call one fake.
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. The answer is I don't know. And the truth of the matter is I don't think many people know, which is why we need it to grow and cultivate in its own way if it wants to, but we're not going to subject Floridians to it.
Representative Hunchofsky with a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you mentioned because we're doing this for the safety of the public. What data do you have that cultivated meat is unsafe?
Representative Alvarez.
None. What data is there, ma'am, that it is safe?
Any other questions? We'll go to Ranking Member Skidmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. Representative Saroy owes you one.
Thank you, ma'am. He does.
You mentioned that you essentially don't trust the word of the FDA. Is that what you were saying when you said we know how that went?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
Ma'am, we know that we understand that the FDA approves things that they think are safe, and we have had a history in this country of later finding out that they weren't safe. Where we are here today is a point where we could say, we're ahead of the curve, let's wait to find out if it's safe or it's not, and in the meantime, we're not gonna let Floridians become that petri dish of experimentation.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Ranking Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give me examples of do you why you think the FDA can't be trusted? Do you, when you go to the grocery store and you see that the FDA has approved the steak that you're eating or the chicken or the salmon, that do you not trust that as effective use of our government resources to keep consumers safe?
Representative Alvarez.
Ma'am, before I became a lawyer, I was a pharmaceutical rep, and I remember when I would sell pharmaceutical products, the only thing that differentiated a pharmaceutical product from a placebo, which is a sugar pill, is that it did better than sugar. So when you say that a drug or a compound is approved by the FDA, you're literally saying that that compound is better than sugar. We need to wait for years to find out, because placebo pills are sugar. What we need to find out is whether it's safe or reliable, and we have no data for that whatsoever.
Representative Trunow with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this policy prohibit land-grant universities such as University of Florida from doing research?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
While it doesn't specifically talk about anything like that, Mr. Trunow, what it does say is if you hold or offer it for sale for human consumption, you would be in violation. It doesn't address research.
Representative Bartleman with a question.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, Representative Alvarez, I've heard you give an explanation as to why you think this is so necessary and how important it is, because you said you don't think it's safe and you don't want to subject Floridians to it. We have decades of research and data that tobacco use is not safe for humans, that it causes cancer. We all know that unequivocally. Yet you don't propose a ban on tobacco products, because why? If you're so concerned and it's compelling to the interest of public safety, why are you compelling us to ban meat, this meat? I don't know what we're calling it, but cultivated meat, but you're not doing that. Is it because maybe you believe in free market and choice? So tell me why you only care about people with this meat that no one's eating, but thousands of Floridians are smoking cigarettes.
Representative Alvarez, if you want to give that one.
I do. I love it. And thank you for that, because that actually opens this wonderful door. So what we're saying is, do you remember when the problem with tobacco is that we were told it was safe, and then later on we found out all of that was a lie. And in fact, the public had been tricked by doctors endorsing it, by the government saying that it was safe. We even had ads saying, smoke your cigarette, says Dr. So-and-so. What we're saying now is, let's, if you want to do the tobacco example, let's treat it that way. We don't know what the truth is. So before we put something that could or could not be, I'm not even saying it's unsafe. What I'm saying is we don't know, and I'm not willing to risk our children and their guts for that.
Members' questions. Representative Bartleman with follow-up.
I have a follow-up and then one more. So would you be open to an amendment to ban tobacco on this as well?
Representative Alvarez.
Ma'am, it's not germane to this bill, but I'm definitely open to talking about anything with you.
And then my final question is, Chair, if you could indulge me.
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we know that the meat demand is projected to double by 2050. And China and other countries are heavily researching this, and they're really active in this sector. So why are you going to hurt Florida? I'm very concerned about what this is going to do to the United States of America. We pass bills all the time about China, and every bill we passed, including this morning, I think members of this committee said free market, and now we're not saying free market. So are you concerned about that? Because I am incredibly concerned that if we're unable to research this, we're going to fall behind. Also, it brings a whole industry into Florida and scientists into Florida and innovation, and people may not want to come here if they know that you're going to ban their research or ban whatever.
Representative Bartleman.
That's my question.
To the question, yeah.
Ma'am, I'm really not concerned about it, because as Florida goes, just because Florida, it won't entertain it, doesn't mean the rest of the world and the country won't entertain it as well. California is free to do it. Israel is free to do it. And the next question is if I'm concerned about Florida, we're the 13th largest producer of cattle. We have 15,000 beef producers, and we essentially could take care of ourselves and the world if we really wanted to. So we're proud of that, and we can take care of ourselves and have a protein source that's alive, natural, and has been part of our history for over 400 years.
Representative Cassell with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, Representative. Hello. How are you? You've mentioned several times that we don't have the data, that there's just information that isn't quite available yet, but we know that the FDA has approved this for the research and consumption. What is the FDA process to get this cultivated meat approved?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
I'm not aware of the details of the FDA matters, ma'am.
Representative Cassell with a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you know how many places currently in the United States actually sell cultivated meat for consumption?
Representative Alvarez?
Yes, ma'am. California and Washington, D.C. do.
Representative Cassell with another.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you aware of any situations or incidents where individuals have gotten sick or ill having eaten the cultivated meat or reported any problems as a result of consumption?
Representative Alvarez?
Ma'am, I'm not aware of any.
And just to piggyback off that, how long have those two states been selling cultivated meat, do we know?
Not very long, sir. I should have that date, but I can look it up while they're talking.
Representative Cassell, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Alvarez, in my research on this issue, one of the things that continuously came up is the real possibility that the meat that is cultivated is actually going to be cleaner than the meat that we currently purchase because it's not going to contain vaccines or hormones. So just talk to me a little bit about your concerns with regards to the safety of this meat if the concept is it's going to be cleaner than what's actually produced live.
Representative Alvarez.
Ma'am, first of all, our Florida beef supply is one of the cleanest and safest there is on any standard, and I have zero questions or concerns about that safety. If we're going to really try and compare it to lab-grown or cultivated products, the concern is what are the effects? We just don't know that what's at all. When we're talking about a cell that's reproducing based in a broth that is manipulated by scientists, we don't know what the effect will have on your body, your DNA, and we'd like to wait and see before that happens.
Members, any other questions? Any other questions for the sponsor? Ranking Member Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It just occurred to me with Representative Alvarez's last statement. Is anybody going to be forced to eat cultivated meat? Or will it be a choice?
No, ma'am, it would be a choice.
Okay.
Sir, members, any other questions? Representative Hunchofsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we don't have the data, is there a reason why we aren't just allowing this with disclosure that it's cultivated meat so that people have a choice?
Representative Alvarez.
I think the position that we're holding here is that we're stepping into the role as the government to protect and provide a safe situation. So as soon as we do know, then we would more likely be open to that at that point.
Representative Hunchofsky with a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You keep mentioning that we're stepping in as the government to provide a safe situation, yet we have no data that it's an unsafe situation. So can you just explain what you mean by that?
Representative Alvarez.
What I think that has been asked and answered, but what we mean by that is when we see what the long-term effects of putting in cultivated DNA into your body and we figure out what that is, especially when we talk about the immortalized cell, which is akin to a cancer cell that you are using to create new quote-unquote meats, I think that's really a level of concern. We also have questions about the ethics of it. We also have questions about what the environmental impact of this will be. There's studies already from California that shows it'll have a 25 times worse impact, this cultivated quote-unquote meat, Lil, than all of the herds of cattle today in America, in the world.
Representative Hunchofsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the meats are biologically the same, how is one less safe than the other?
Representative Alvarez.
Ma'am, while their DNA may be sourced from the same, they're not biologically the same. And someone can say that if they'd like to because they're sourced from the same cells. One comes from a living creature, one is created by a scientist. That's where the difference are. So when one is created by a scientist and marketed as a safe protein source, the question that Florida is asking here is, okay, prove it. And after you do, then we'll consider it.
Members, questions? Representative Fomjowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is the FDA process for approval?
Representative Alvarez.
I think that's also been asked and answered, and the question is, I don't know the details of how they got to this point.
Representative Mooney with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you for answering a ton of questions I sent you. Of course, you know my how I feel about this. You know, because Florida has the infamous number one ranked universities in the country, and we know that research is being done on this particular issue in our state universities, I just want to clarify, you said to Representative Trunow that this does not stymie research within the university's facilities, correct?
In a plain reading of this text, it does not, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Members, questions? Ranking Member Skidmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Alvarez, could you clarify what you meant that the cultivated meat is 25% worse than slaughtering? And where does that come from?
Representative Alvarez, when you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. That comes from Derek Reisner from the University of California, Davis Department of Food and Safety, Food Science and Technology. Quote, if companies are having to purify the growth media to pharmaceutical levels, it uses more resources, which then increases global warming potential. Continue on. If this product continues to be produced using this approach, it's going to be worse for the environment and more expensive than conventional beef production. It says the study found the global warming potential of lab-based meat using these media is 4 to 25 times greater than the average for retail beef.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me what that process is on the cultivated meat? That is, what are those additional resources that are greater than the water, feed, pasture, methane exposure of cattle?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
I'll do my best, ma'am. So my understanding is first they get the broth in the medium, and then they motivate those cells to go using a proprietary system that they own that they have yet to reveal how they do that individual part. And then once that grows, it's got to grow. Right now it's grown at a pharmaceutical level laboratory, right? And the energy required to produce that in those big vats, if we were to get the same level of beef allowed today, according to this scientist, is between 4 and 25 times greater energy consumption.
Members, questions?
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Do you have predictions on how long it would take for cultivated meat to meet the same level of production as today's current cattle market?
Representative Alvarez.
I do not, ma'am.
Thank you.
Questions, members. Representative Cassell and questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some concerns. Obviously, one of the things Florida is trying to grow is our biotech industry. We're trying to incentivize those types of companies and investors to come to the state of Florida and grow biotech. Do you have any concerns that by stifling this type of technology this early on is actually going to dissuade biotech companies and investors from coming to Florida?
Representative Alvarez.
No, ma'am, I don't.
Members, questions?
Sir, I have an answer. You asked a question, sir.
Yes, sir.
It was approved on June 19th, 2023.
Okay. And let me ask you a follow-up to that. In the states that they do have sale of this cultivated meat, what are their packaging requirements?
According to my research, there is no packaging requirement that says you have to identify it as cultivated meat.
Thank you for that. Representative Fomjowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned early when answering Representative Mooney's question that it wouldn't stop any research in the state of Florida on cultivated meat. And I ask how that's possible if it states that it is unlawful for any person to manufacture, sell, hold, or offer for sale cultivated meat, because in order to research it, wouldn't they have to be able to either manufacture it or buy it?
Representative Alvarez?
I think that's a really great question, and thank you for allowing me to make that distinction. When you hold an offer for sale of cultivated meat, you are in the retail market to attempt to make a profit or sell it. A lab that is studying it at the University of Florida is researching it. So by mere definition, they are not trying to sell it or hold it for the sale of cultivated meat for human consumption.
Representative Franceschi with one last question.
Thank you. Just to follow up, but how will they have the meat if it can't be manufactured, sold, or distributed?
Representative Alvarez.
I'm not being flippant, but I would assume they would procure it under their normal procurement methods.
Representative Bartleman with a question.
Thank you, Chair. If that's your follow-up, I feel like your answer to that question, lines 27 to 28, need to be modified in the bill to protect the universities. Because if they're doing
research— Is there a question in there,
yeah, Representative? Are you amenable to, because you're saying University of Florida is protected. And I'm challenging you, what you said, you use the words that they're manufacturing for sale. But in your bill, manufacturer stands alone. So it's you're prohibited from manufacturing.
Representative Bartleman, so is there a question or do we want to
you
use this
it?
For debate?
Will you amend that in the future, please?
Remember,
his answer wasn't.
I'm happy to answer, sir. Yeah. This is Representative Soroy's bill, and I'm sure that he'd be amenable to having any of those discussions. I believe so.
Representative Trunow with a question.
Can we really call it meat?
Representative Alvarez.
Representative Trunow, I think that is a discussion that we would have to have as a body. We could determine what we'd call it or not. If we did proceed with allowing this in Florida, we would argue that we probably wouldn't call it meat so that we can make a distinction that it's not meat in our traditional sense.
Members, questions? Questions? Seeing no further questions, there are no amendments. Let's move on to public testimony. Up first, we have Matthew Gorzik. Gropolski. Mr. Gropolski, you are recognized.
Hi, my name is Matthew Gropolski, a 19-year-old student at Rollins College that is pretty concerned about this bill in regard to consumer choice. What this ultimately comes down to is the restriction of the free market. This ban of cultivated meat, also known as lab-grown meat, restricts consumer choice in our marketplace in terms of what consumers want to consume. Restricting consumer choice when it comes to food restricts what we can feed our children in cafeterias, in juvenile systems, and in other important spaces. It goes against what we should be building up, an allowance of letting our children and parents to choose what they want to eat. We can feed children who go hungry with cultivated meat products in the future. If we continue proper research. We can increase the accessibility of products for those in our prison systems if we simply allow these products to develop and evolve. Open the gates up for competition in the food market that can allow Florida to further utilize smart land use. If you do want to propose further regulation, in which the FDA already does so, I support proper labeling. I personally fully support that and think that that is a much more sensible proposal. The FDA and USDA has approved and completed approval of these products in multiple instances. Let me tell you what cultivated meat is. It's stem cells, structured cuisine typically utilizing scaffolding made by soy protein, gelatin, and other sources to be shaped. There's less contamination from E. coli. That's what the research is showing so far. I can drop by anyone who's interested's offices next week and drop by some research papers. If these government agencies are clearing it, same as scientific research, I don't think that banning it is a market safe and supportive solution. Also, if we're a little bit scared about scientific cuisine evolution, bubblegum became a thing in 1928. It's 2024. Almost a full 100 years after the invention of bubblegum. If our ancestors and fellow market invaders at the time could accept bubblegum, we can accept cultivated meat now as well, I hope. And let me go back to the environmental impact as well. If we utilize renewables to cultivate meat like how we should, and realistically will move towards in the future. It's actually found by studies by the CED lift to actually decrease environmental impact as well. That is a non-issue. Again, I can provide in a drop-by next week these studies as well. Voting down on this resolution is a sensible pro-free market solution that incentivizes market competition. I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have William Helmick with Food Solutions Action. You're recognized.
Thank you, everyone. William Helmick with Food Solutions Action and the Good Food Institute, so won't have to call me up twice. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Alvarez, as Commissioner Simpson said recently, food security is national security. Right now, we're at a crossroads of technology and agriculture. To just run through a few pieces of history, at the turn of the 20th century, the agriculture industry was running out of fertilizer. Around the 19-teens, the Haber-Bosch method was developed to take nitrogen literally from the air so that we could fertilize our crops throughout the world. In the 1960s and 70s, we were running into another wall where there was not enough grain production throughout the world. That led to the Green Revolution, where we had hybridized crops for wheat, et cetera, that saved Africa and the world, and that has led to what we have today. We're running into another wall right now, and that is a protein wall. We're running out of protein. Currently, the global protein demand has increased by 50% since 2000 and is projected to double by 2020. China knows this, and we know this. We are entering into a protein arms race with China. China has included cultivated meats as part of its blueprint for food security going forward, and a China that controls the protein of the world will control the world. So I want to kind of take this and raise the discussion up to, and not say we should emulate China. That has been conflated. We should be competing with China. I don't think we should be importing Chinese meat. I don't think we should be importing Chinese garlic. I think we should be looking very carefully. But we need to be competing with China. Otherwise, we're going to cede parts of the world, South America and Africa, to them because they're going to be trading with them. And these products are for that. So I hope that in 50, 60, 70 years, when we're running into the next wall of production and the next food wall, and there's discussions in front of this committee, the members of that committee can look out at Florida and look at a field and see a cultivated meat factory being surrounded by great Florida cattle, great Florida cracker cattle, and look up into space to the moon colony and the space colony where people will be eating cultivated meat and say, Florida has always been a home for innovation. Florida is where people come to innovate. Now, we do not say no to innovation, and that is what I'd hope for. So at this point, I want to thank Representative Alvarez, Representative Saroy, and also this committee for having this bill. We look forward to working with them moving forward. Unfortunately, at this time, we cannot support the language in the bill, but I think that there is a lot of discussion to be had, potentially in labeling and other guardrails to protect Floridians, which is what we've always done here in the state of Florida. Thank you.
And I'm open for any questions, but I want to... We have one question from a member, Representative Honchowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, how much does cultivated meat cost to purchase?
I do not know. I can find that out, but I will say that it is being, I would wager that it's being sold at a loss, and it is only being sold at two restaurants. It is being sold in California and Washington, D.C., as the representative said, that is accurate, but it's being sold at one restaurant in San Francisco, one restaurant in Washington, D.C. You have to get on a wait list. Essentially, what has been authorized is a chicken cutlet from two different companies that has gone through FDA and USDA approval. That took them about 4 years to get, as I understand it, and you have to get in a wait list for that. I would bet that what it costs to produce it and what they're selling it for is completely two completely different numbers. It probably is thousands of dollars an ounce at this point. Because what's going on here when we say research? The research, this is not new technology. This is not cloning. This is a lot the same technology that's led to skin grafts, et cetera. What is going on is how do you take that technology to where you can make a small product and how do you ramp it up? For example, the largest cultivated meat facility to be built in the world is currently being built by Israel in North Carolina. Israel is the second largest, has the second largest number of companies in this field. Is being built in North Carolina currently. And as I understand it, that facility, when it is fully running, will be able to produce enough cultivated meat to supply essentially what would be you would see at one McDonald's in meat use a day. So there's a lot going on here. And this research is needed on how you ramp that up. If Florida shuts this down, though, investment will shut down, and China will be able to get a lead on this.
Ranking Member Skidmore has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hamlick. Great to see you again.
Thank you, Representative.
So in your response to Representative Honchowski, only two restaurants. So consumers cannot go to the grocery store and somehow get fooled into buying cultivated meat versus what was formerly a cow or a chicken. Is that correct?
That is completely
recognized.
Sorry, Chairman. That's completely accurate, Representative. At this point, I could not go buy it. I wish I could get samples here to be available for the members of the committee to be able to sample at cost, of course. But that is just not available right now. To say this market is in its infancy is a step up. And if this bill passes, it'll be killing this market in its infancy.
Representative Cassell, question. I'll circle back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's been some conversation about how we categorize this, right? Is this fake meat? Is this cultivated meat? We've heard the word fake meat being used. Can you just tell us what we're actually talking about so we can get the boogeyman out of the room?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I would say, as I understand it, again, I am a lobbyist, that is bioidentical to meat. It is, it is the same process that goes on in your body. When you go to work out and your muscles grow, it is a similar process to that, except it is happening in essentially a stainless steel container, which is called a bioreactor. So it is protein. In fact, I often try and use the term protein because there is some discussion. I've had these discussions with Representative Trunow about that, is if the labeling discussion goes forward as opposed to a ban, how does this get labeled going down the road? And that is obviously a discussion I think the industry is willing to have with the Florida House, Florida Senate, and obviously the sponsors of this legislation.
We're going to circle back to Ranking Member Skidmore for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up with that previous question on our consumers being fooled. And so the folks who are going to the two restaurants where you can buy this protein, they know what they're buying.
I think that's asked and answered.
Is that correct?
Did you have any other questions? No. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for your testimony. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up next, we have Ari Etzenben with Wild Type. Did I get close on that last name there?
Yeah, Ari Elephantbine. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee, for permitting me this opportunity to speak with you on this deeply personal topic. I just wanted to start by saying my family roots are here in Florida. My grandfather moved here at a young age to become an ice cream man. My dad went to FSU here. As a kid, I was at Cape Canaveral on the day that the Challenger exploded, and like everyone else in the country, I was obviously devastated, and have looked up to the bravery of those astronauts and the intrepid spirit of the state ever since. It's made me proud to see how Florida has led the nation and the world in issues of food security. With the rapid decline of fish stocks and an increasing reliance on foreign countries for our seafood, this state took notice and built the world's largest on-land fish farming facility. An enormous amount of inspiring work from our colleagues at the University of Florida and the University of Miami, who we have worked with personally, has guided much of this and would continue to guide Florida's prosperity in this complex food system if permitted to do so. But even that isn't enough. This is why 7 years ago, I co-founded a company to create a new source of seafood with a former US diplomat whose work in Pakistan and Afghanistan for the State Department during the Bin Laden years led him to this career of defending American food security. I should also mention that I'm a cardiologist, spending many of my weekend nights working in the ICU. Tonight, another physician is taking care of critically ill patients in my place so that I can be here to speak to you. The negative implications of this legislation are that important. Our little company has turned a failed neighborhood brewery into a first-in-the-world cultivated fish pilot plant. We've created 110 jobs and raised capital from investors who look deep into the future when it comes to food security, including our friends at Cargill. Which brings me to a simple question. Why would Florida constituents support a bill that fundamentally undermines the free market, that undermines capitalism? Floridians don't want to live in a state where the government tells them what they can eat and what they can't. This bill restricts consumer choice in a strangely arbitrary way as well. Why does Florida have the world's largest on-land salmon farming facility, a technology also with enormous potential, but still being proven, but ban cultivated seafood and meat before it has even entered the market here?
Let's give consumers the freedom to choose what they want to eat. Last century, legislation was passed under pressure from the dairy industry to mandate that margarine was colored pink so that it would be less appetizing. Legislation was also passed to tax margarine so that it couldn't compete with butter. The thing is, the American people didn't need the government to make those decisions for them. Today, with those laws repealed, butter wins. Not because government has banned margarine, but because Americans have made up their own minds about what to put on their dinner plates. I'd like to leave you with a final thought, which is why cultivated meat or seafood even matters. Why do we need it? The next time you see fish on your plate, please remember that it probably didn't come from the USA. There's overwhelming consensus that current trends all point to China being the world's largest producer of seafood worldwide in the coming decades. And even if your fish came from the US, it's still highly likely that it went to Asia for processing before returning. Every vote to ban cultivated seafood brings us closer to a future where we depend more and more on China and other countries for food. If you're concerned about securely feeding future generations with nutritious meats and seafood, removing mercury, antibiotics, microplastics, and so forth, banning cultivated meat is not a step in the right direction. If you're concerned about consumer safety, you can easily see the extreme level of transparency that our industry has set as a standard. There are already hundreds of pages of safety data now in the public domain. We've had FDA inspectors scrutinize every detail of how our pristine salmon is produced in an old neighborhood brewery. We have hosted members of Congress and would like to extend the same invitation to each of you to meet the hardworking people who believe in strengthening our American food system. As somebody who happily gives up sleep to serve and care for the sick, the ethos of do no harm has been the guide of not just me, but our entire industry. The cultivated meat industry was born out of a desire for healthful, nutritious foods in a world where these are becoming more scarce and more polluted. I want to address some of the topics that were just raised, just to set the record straight on some of the scientific issues, starting with the manner in which these cells are harvested from the beginning. The representation that was described is, in truth, nothing like how these cells are obtained. They're often obtained as a small bit of skin. The animal, in many famous examples, has been able to live happily and hasn't even felt what that procedure has entailed. The question of an immortalized cell line is a really interesting one. And what I'd like to say is that it is perfectly natural in nature to see cells that are able to continue dividing. The very first cell that all of us were at one time, that was a cell with unlimited potential. And by that I mean that cell could become any organ of the body, but more importantly, that cell has an unlimited ability to continue replicating. That is not cancer. Liver cells are able to continue regenerating for the entirety of our lives. Thank goodness our skin cells are able to continue regenerating for the entirety of our lives. The fact that a cell continues to replicate does not make it a cancer. And using that word, which has a very specific clinical implication, is one that is only for the purpose of scaring the public. I'd like to speak to the question about unknown effects for new foods. In the 1930s and 1940s in Japan, there was a chemotherapeutic agent that was used with watermelons to create what we now know as seedless watermelons. That's a drug that's used for cancer to create a profoundly mutated fruit. This fruit can't even replicate on its own. It doesn't have seeds. And yet, we've come to understand that the principles of food safety are not just ones defined by, this sounds scary because it's cancer. There are actual principles of food safety, which is what the FDA process is. The FDA process has been an exceedingly rigorous one. It's one that many companies are still years in going through every little detail, and yet what I'll say is that it's actually kind of a boring process. And by that I mean, there's not much controversy in the fact that the main ingredient for a product like ours is something that's been around forever, which is fish cells, and everything else has regulatory precedent. The only controversy is around things like, how often are we going to test certain lots? And how often are we going to be able to go back to certain batches and be able to document those in the right way? That's what a lot of the conversation has been around. And that's all in the public record for you to be able to see. There have been so many new foods that were truly scary at the time. Bubblegum is a great example. Things like a lot of the fast foods that we eat today. Doritos, that was a new food. Just because it's a new food, just because we don't have data to say that it is either healthful or has deleterious consequences, is not a reason to just write it off as something as potentially dangerous. I wanted to speak a little bit to the question about how much this process would use in terms of resources. And if you speak to the authors, if you just read even from the quote that was just quoted, it describes a process whereby all of the inputs are still pharmaceutical grade. Some of the largest food companies in this country, some of the largest pharmaceutical companies in this country, are also working on not using pharmaceutical grade inputs for this purpose, but instead food grade inputs, because that's what we're making. We are taking the same approaches that have been tested over the course of decades and now creating it in the context of food. That is the difference. And so all of the underlying assumptions in terms of what a life cycle analysis looked like are ones that actually don't apply in these very few early years of a new industry. I also wanted to speak to the transparency. Representative Alvarez was describing the proprietary formulation that companies use and don't disclose. And just to say that that's fundamentally untrue, we disclose every single component to the FDA. They know every single ingredient, and not just the ingredient, where it comes from, what the certificate of analysis looks like. I wish that our seafood supply system today had that level of traceability and transparency. And the final thing I'll say about universities is that perhaps within the wording, there could be a way to continue the research. But if, as somebody who came from the world of academia, I'll say, where is the motivation for people in Florida to continue pursuing research for something that is banned by the state? Will cultivated meat ever replace conventional meat? I really hope not. I also don't see how that's possible. In order to produce just 1% of the world's seafood consumption, just 1% using this process, we'd need all the steel beer fermenters in the world. We are here as just one of many ways to address this country's ever-growing demand for quality meat and seafood. We are here to make our food system stronger, to create a future where made in America seafood is no longer overshadowed by that of other countries. Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. I'm at your service to answer any questions, contribute to any meaningful discussion in whichever direction you choose. Thank you, truly.
Thank you, Mr. Itzenbaum, for traveling and being here with us today. Up next, we have Izzy Gabarino with the Department of Agriculture, waiving in support. Thank you. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. The debate. Representative Bartleman.
Thank you, Chair. I want to just debate on a couple of points. First, Florida should be leading the country in innovation. We should be the one encouraging companies to come to us and not scaring them off. This disincentivizes industry to come to Florida. Second, and I cannot believe I'm arguing this, free market. Look, You're saying you're going to prevent people. I eat lunch with all of you, and you all drink diet soda all the time. I think I got someone a diet root beer today. And you know that there's a warning label for any product with aspartame. And that warning label is required by the FDA because aspartame is not safe. But we believe in free choice. So I drink my Coke Zero, and many of you drink your Diet Cokes. I don't smoke. There's a huge warning label on everywhere on tobacco. But we let the consumer make the choice. Instead of banning something, you could simply have warning labels. You could have warning labels and say this, the FDA, first of all, has approved it, but if you wanted to create further warning labels for the state of Florida as a legislator, you could. And then you could let the American make the choice because they're making the choice to smoke, they're making the choice to drink diet soda, they're making the choice to use aspartame. It's a choice. This inhibits the free market. And most importantly, and this is what I was trying to get at with my questioning, go to lines 26 and through 28 of the bill. This absolutely would hurt research in our university system. It says it is unlawful for any person to manufacture, comma. You answered the question saying it is unlawful for any person to manufacture with the intent to sell. That's not what this bill says. This bill says it is unlawful for any person to manufacture, comma, sell, comma, and if you read on. So if your intent is not to hurt the university system, and by the way, I'm still going to vote this down if you fix this, you have got to change that language because they're not going to be able to manufacture what they're studying. So you're hurting the university system with this bill. So that's just one small issue with this bill. But I'm going to be down. I really hope for the university's sake you're going to fix this language, and I'm still going to be down for all the other reasons. But, God, please protect our universities. Thank you.
Representative Honchowski in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Growing up, my parents came to this country, the country of opportunity, the country of innovation, the country where people, some of the best and brightest from all over the world want to be here because things happen in this country. I don't know when fear started to take over the spirit of innovation that this country is based on. This was approved by the FDA. Just like all the food, my Diet Pepsi, usually I'm Diet Coke, today I'm Diet Pepsi. This is all that was in the member lounge. And all the things we eat. And if we want to let consumers know that this meat was derived in a different way than the meat from the cow, then we can put that label and educate. Since when do we not trust Floridians to read and make choices for themselves? This has passed the FDA process, the same process for all the food we eat, the food that we say is safe enough to make a choice that we're going to buy it at the grocery store. My concern here is the trajectory of fear-based decision-making that is stifling innovation that could harm us in the future because we didn't follow the science. We didn't listen to the science. We used these fearful boogeyman terms to scare people as opposed to learning about the process. And sir, I will take you up on your offer to visit because I am not a scientist. Biology was not one of my favorite subjects, nor was chemistry. But this is an opportunity for all of us to learn. And we have notably some of the best universities in this country. And to take this opportunity away from them to be on the forefront of this emerging market, I just don't understand. And I would argue, I know you spoke in the beginning, Representative Alvarez, about opposite day. I would say I have always stood for freedom, intellectual honesty, choice, data, which we don't have any data to support, saying that it's not safe. And I think it makes sense to have transparency with the public. I'm always up for educating and letting the public know what's going on, because I have found out when they know, they make the best decisions, because isn't that what capitalism is based on? I hope that we can get to a place where we talk about disclosing, letting people know, but that we are not going to stifle innovation because we are afraid of a boogeyman. Thank you.
Representative Cassell on debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, to sit here today in 2024 and think that this world is going to look anything like it looks like today when our great-grandchildren are in charge is extremely short-sighted. And while those of us sitting here can't even begin to contemplate the thought of what cultivated meat or the thought that one day we may be eating cultivated meat is probably difficult for most of us to comprehend. But we thought that about the computer, it was scary. The internet was scary. Cell phones have been scary. I mean, when you think about technology and how it's evolved, over time, it always starts off as a little bit scary, but then we realize maybe how much we needed it or how different our lives were without it. And we are talking about consumer consumption of a product that's nowhere close to true commercial consumption. Yes, there are two restaurants, one in Washington, D.C. and California that have the ability to buy a chicken cutlet that you got to get a wait list on, and these are willing buyers and consumers. We're nowhere near the place of commercial consumption, and with this bill, we're never going to get there. And the reality is, with our population growth, we're not going to be able to meet the demands of future generations. So while it might be scary for us sitting here in 2024, we have to think about what our future is going to look like for our great-grandchildren and what needs they may have that we can't even begin to think about. You know, the fact that this could be used for astronauts in space or in times of war or in countries that don't have the agriculture or manufacturing or processes that we have. I mean, there's so much potential here, and to stifle that innovation is really scary to me, because we know that oftentimes we make a product or we make a vaccine or we make something with one idea in mind, but it can go so many different places and provide so many different benefits. And this bill doesn't even give us that chance. And I asked the question about whether or not you had any concerns about what this says to the biotechnical community about where Florida stands on new innovative ideas, and your response that you think this sends no message to them or that this won't dissuade them, I think is extremely short-sighted, and I think this would be a colossal mistake for Florida if we go down this path. We are sending the message that we are not open-minded, that we don't want to innovate, and we don't want to allow people who have ideas that we can't even begin to comprehend yet come to the state of Florida, and I think it will be crushing for that industry, and I think we will be sending a message to those investors that Florida is not a place that they want to come. So it's been an interesting debate. Rep. Soroy definitely owes you. I appreciate your willingness to take our questions. I will obviously be no on this bill, and I think we need to let Florida be a leader, and let's put up some regulations and some guardrails to make sure those protections in place. But an absolute blanket ban on this technology and this innovation is not where I want Florida to go.
Representative Trunow on debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for bringing this conversation to this committee today. I think that, as the legislature meets every year, we can always change direction. I think the research, as it continues to play out, will shed light on what's going on here. So I look forward to the conversation moving forward. Thank you.
Ranking Member Skidmore in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Alvarez. This is not your bill, and you've done a phenomenal job answering questions and defending it. I really do have true concerns about this type of a ban. We know that food security is national security. We've been talking about that for the last few years in the Florida legislature. We don't have long-term the capacity to meet the protein needs of our country. We have to start thinking about it differently. And we have been. We have plant-based proteins. We have all new kinds of innovations. We are known for that in Florida. Our universities are known for that. I've seen a letter from nearly a dozen investors who say stifling this particular technology sends a message to all innovators and all investors that Florida's not open for business. That's the wrong message. A lot of what was presented today is opinion, not based on fact, because you have no facts. Understanding that that is the premise of your argument, that with the lack of data comes this decision to ban this manufacturing, this research, because whether intended or not, this bill will eliminate the opportunity to research this subject when you say that no one, that it is a crime to manufacture on this product. So I think there are unintended consequences here. I am so proud of the innovation that Florida offers. I've been sponsoring a bill to create the Office of the Blue Economy so that we can innovate further from all our water resources. I believe, and I've learned through the creation of the Marine Research Hub of South Florida and Ocean Exchange, where businesses from all over the world come and present their innovations and win academic prizes and awards. We have been studying this. Cellular-based food is cleaner and safer and a necessary addition to what we are currently doing. That is my opinion. I think that Rep. Honchovsky kind of hit the nail on the head for me that this is legislation born out of fear of the unknown. And when you stifle an entire industry based on the fear of the unknown, it's like we have to keep the lights on because we don't know what's going to be there in the dark. I think that that's the wrong way for us to go. And I think Floridians don't want this for their state either. We are growing by leaps and bounds. People are coming here from all other states because of our free market, because of the slogan, you know, that our governor has reiterated over and over and over again about the free state of Florida. There's nothing free about Florida when you ban this type of technology, this type of innovation, and this type of research. So I can't vote for that. I can't support that. I hope that Representative Saroy, when you have your conversation with him, will take a lot of our input and take it into consideration and maybe take a different route, put some guardrails around, and I wouldn't call them warnings, I would say disclaimers. This is cellular-based protein. This has been created at the XYZ facility in North Carolina or whatever. I think that those are the safety measures that Americans and Floridians are looking for, not a ban on innovation. So thank you again for carrying it. Appreciate you doing that and look forward to having the conversation moving forward.
Members, debate. Any further debate? Representative Alvarez, you've done a great job today on behalf of Representative Saroy. I think when we look at this issue, this is one certainly as a committee we can't all agree on, but we can agree to disagree. I do think the intent behind this bill isn't to negatively impact the research. It's just to pump the brakes. And I have concerns in food labeling and and deceptive advertising on food products as it is, you know, so that's a concern for me moving forward. But I appreciate you allowing us and facilitating this conversation late in the day on a Friday afternoon. And now I'm going to give you the opportunity to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And truly, thank you to all my colleagues for this discussion. Legitimately, this is what this is born to breed, right? We're going to have the discussion. But what I think you may not have realized what you said was we don't know what we don't know. And to be clear, let's talk about a few just cleanup things. First of all, we're not banning any technology, or we're not banning any research. The fine doctor, who I quite appreciate for your coming, and I appreciate your passion, sir, and thank you for traveling all that way. I think it added to the robust conversation. I valued your conversation with us, so thank you. What the fine doctor said was this is very well-established technology. The cell replication part is what we're talking about, right? That part. We're not banning that. What we're saying is, I'm going to use your words, Mr. Chairman, we're going to pump the brakes on the product. Because what we don't know is what we don't know. And what we don't know could harm you. Heck, what we don't know could be the best thing ever, or it could kill you. So let's back up. When we look at the almighty FDA or the federal government, we say, well, they approved it, so it must be great. Remember when they approved margarine and told us it is an incredible substitute? Now margarine's bad. Butter's back to being good. They told us that. Then they told us that eggs were the worst thing for you. Limit your eggs. Remember that? Don't eat eggs. They're bad. It turns out today, that same federal government is telling you eggs are a superfood. Eat all of them that you can. So what we're saying is today, canola oil, that is a lab-created product that's supposed to be an incredible substitute that was supposed to add to the food product and availability market. It also turns out to be one of the greatest dangers to your body when it comes to inflammation and disease. So we are on the precipice of an industry coming to Florida. Italy's already banned it. What we're saying is let's pump the brakes. Let's stop. Let's take a look at the safety. When we say we don't know what we don't know what the effect of it will be on your body. Folks, we're not in the habit of controlling or stopping the free market. And I really value those comments. I'm going to remind you of them a little bit later when those things come up. But what Floridians do want is they want you to stand up for them and tell them this is safe. And we can't answer that question. They say, before I put it in my mouth, is this okay? Someone had to check it out. And we, the state of Florida, are responsible for protecting our citizens, even from our federal government's decisions, which have a long track record of being good sometimes, bad sometimes, and then good and bad again. So what this bill is doing is asking you to pump the brakes. Take a look. We have plenty of good Florida protein to protect and feed Florida for the foreseeable future from 15,000 producers in the state of Florida who'd happily come and share a steak with you if you would. Sir, I thank you for the opportunity to do this. I know Representative Saroy definitely thanks you for that. And one final comment, if you all come for your sizings, I have red jackets with little elephants on them for you coming up later. So thank you guys very much. I rest my case.
Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott.
Yes.
Alvarez. Antone.
Yes.
Bartleman.
No.
Botana.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Cassell.
No.
Esposito.
Yes.
Munchovsky.
No.
Keen.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Skidmore.
No.
Trunow. Chair Buchanan.
Yes.
10 yeas, 4 nays.
Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Alvarez.
Thank you, committee.
Members, it's late in the afternoon on a Friday. Thank you guys for all hanging in there with me. I think next week we're going to get done a little bit earlier, so that's good for you. And I, again, want to welcome our new member to the committee, Representative Keene. With that, Representative Keene moves we rise without objection. We are adjourned.